listening to the Digicast from thedigitel.com.
It's the Digicast number 9. Hello, good evening. My name is Jeff Marshall, multimedia editor at thedigitel.com. Sitting opposite me looking pretty is...
Ken Hawkins, senior editor of thedigitel.com.
Not as pretty as me. Do you feel inadequate?
I'm probably prettier.
You really? In American terms,
maybe. We could have a special Digitel story where you can vote on the prettiest team member.
RateMyFace.com. Yeah. We could be the new sponsor of the Digitel.
I like it.
I think that'll be quite good. Ken, where the hell are we?
We are in Upper Deck. I think technically the name is Upper Deck Tavern on King Street.
The UDT. We're flanked, I said flanked, listeners, by some prettier men than us. Would you like to tell us who they are, Ken?
Well, they are from the Holy City Bite Co-op, and I'm horrible with names, Dan and Ben, right?
It's Dan Kelly. Hello, Dan. Shout hi.
Hello.
And Ben Renison. Shout hi, Ben.
Hey-up.
And they'll be on the... Hey-up. Ah, there's another British man in the house. Just when I thought I'd be the only British accent. British accent. The lovely guys, as Ken says, from the Holy City Bike Co-op are with us as our special guests in our part 2 section coming up in a bit. We should be talking to them.
Yep.
Thanks for having us. All that, stuff.
And we were meant to be in Kudu. In fact, both Ken and I tweeted at about 6:45, we're heading to Kudu. Oh. To go and sit in Kudu, and Kudu's the greatest. Kudu, 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 Kudu. Yeah, that's Kudu, which closes at 7 o'clock. So when we got there, they were just, like, shutting up. We're like, Upper Deck instead, and so here we are. So, it feels very strange to be sat here with my laptop recording a podcast, but hey, the ends justify the means. So,
Are
you online? Do we have a connection?
Yeah, I just tweeted about the fact that we are now at Upper Deck Tavern.
You just tweet, okay, if you read from Ken or from the Digitel...
From the Digitel.
So,
our massive group of followers can
All 9 of them. Yeah, yeah. You should say, I got a friend that follows my blog, and because I wrote on my personal blog this week about Twitter, she's now like following my Twitter updates, and she freaked me out by going, hey, how was your trip to the so-and-so? I'm like, how the hell do you know that? She's like, because you put it on Twitter. I'm like, you're not supposed to read that. And now now I'm thinking...
You should be proud. You have a stalker. You should feel special.
She'll be listening to this guy.
Usually you're the one doing the stalking. So, you know, now it's, you know, that's kind of...
Twitter is good. I think we should run a story on how Twitter has exploded in usage over the last few weeks. It really has gone up.
Yeah, it's really blossoming. And there's a lot of interesting kind of Charleston Twitter efforts underway. And it's probably a story and maybe a podcast even on its own.
We should find who are the Twitter king and queen of Charleston. Actually, I know who they are. And just run a story on them as to why it embraces their life so much. But enough idle banter. Let's talk about the big stories of the last 7 days. Now, do you want to do it straight away or do you want to work up to it? Because we both know what's coming.
Why don't you just run with this one, Jeff? Because, you know, this is Jeff Hour. I mean, this or Jeff 5 minutes.
I just feel like slightly justified because when you and I worked at the Post and Courier... We saw this coming. Many people saw it coming. Tellingly enough, all the people who left that are no longer there are all the ones who saw it coming. And all the ones who've stayed there are the ones going, oh, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I think they saw it coming too, but they were just kind of had to believe it was all going to be okay.
In case people have been living in a cave this week, would you like to actually tell us what the story is, Ken?
The Post and Courier has laid off 25 people in an effort to stave off, I don't know, financial doom.
And what worries me the most, and it's very sad for those people that no longer have jobs, clearly, I'm not a complete idiot, but what scares me is that like about 60 people left last summer during the buyouts, and that was meant to like stave off, you know, any layoffs. So, but 60 people leaving and a reduction of 60 people's salaries wasn't enough to them to want to drop 25 more people.
And it's going to keep coming. It's not just Post Courier. It's all newspapers. Everyone knows. It's all media outlets, TV stations, magazines, everything. And it's going to keep coming until they fix the problem with the business model. And it's just that simple. And, and until they fix it, revenues keep shrinking. They're going to have to lay off more people. It's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller until they address the fundamental problems they have.
And what are the fundamental problems, Ken? And don't just put the knife into the PNC here. I mean, what are the fundamental problems for the printed media?
It's something I've been doing more thinking about, and you know, and there's been a lot of talk that you know, newspapers aren't very good. They're good at reporting, but they're not very good at distributing the information they collect. And until they learn how to distribute that information well, they're not going to do a good job. And there's been a lot of talk in the past that maybe you should split the reporting from the distribution, and more and more I'm coming to see the Digitel as a distributor of the information, a kind of connector of these are the people that are doing the good job reporting, and we kind of bring it all together, and we're the kind of conduit, the distributor that connects the people to the reporting. And I think that's the model that should be done, obviously, or else, you know, I wouldn't do it.
This may just be the most serious conversation we've ever had on a podcast. Use the word conduit, for which I give you half a point. I spoke to an old friend of mine in the marketing department, and their response was, I still believe in the newspaper. And at that point, you know, I actually nearly did, you know, hit my head on the desk in front of me, because I thought, well, then you're doomed, aren't you? If you're holding to that stance, it's not looking good.
The advent of the non-paper press. Everything's going internet now.
Completely. And 2 years ago, we were saying you need to be. I think that the Post and Courier, they always saw themselves as a newspaper, which had a website on the side. And 2 years ago, I was saying you need to be a media company, which produces an internet site primarily. Oh, and happens to run a newspaper on the side. And until they make that shift.
You know, right now, the Charleston.net is just an online version of the newspaper. It may have HTML and CSS and all this other kind of web acronyms going on, but all they're doing is basically copying and pasting the newspaper articles for online, and it's an entirely different style and function.
The styling is something that irked me the most. They would just take a story from the paper as it was, as it read, as it scanned, as that sort of AP style of writing worked well on print, and just converted it straight across to the internet. And when you're reading something on the web page, you have to write in a different style. A headline in a newspaper doesn't work as a headline on a web page. It needs to be written differently.
You have to accept that, you know, you don't have the primary, you don't have the reporting on everything, and you're going to have to link to your competitors to get people the full story.
I'm so glad I brought my soapbox with me today. Do you like it? Look, I made it myself out of pine wood today. Screwed that one together.
I was wondering, before you got into this, did you guys set up a safe word? Like, if, you know, the knife got too deep? Was there...
What's Can you up? Tell that we're kind of? Well, I mean, it's not that.
Banana.
The safe word is soapbox. What is going to happen? How long are you going to give the PNC, Ken, before it really collapses? And shockingly, do you think there's going to be another round of layoffs this year? And that's a serious question.
I think if there's not some sort of fundamental shift in the way they're doing business online, my amateurish guess would be, I don't know, 3 years?
No, I don't think your guess is amateur. I think you honestly have your finger on the pulse in the terms of the way that the media and the technology convergence is working, and you're a wise man. That's why I came to work for you.
That I think the state had lost, I can't remember how many millions of dollars, like the state, the newspaper out of Columbia, had lost $10 million, I think, in the last quarter alone.
Wow.
And, I mean, the state's, you know, the leading newspaper in the state, but it's not that big of a paper, and how long can they keep that up? You know, what, 6 months, a year, maybe?
Troubling times.
We'll move on.
I was going to say, having spent 5 minutes talking about the paper, you've now got 2 minutes to talk about everything else that happened in the last week. Go.
Shall I just run them all into one big word?
Yeah. Talking of publications, there's a new online publication in town, and it's named after a drug.
A drug? Charlie?
Yeah, in Britain, you know, a line of Charlie is a line of Coke. Did you not know that?
No. What was the last time with the Phelps story?
Back me up here, right? Yeah, no, people? Thank you.
Well, dope. We talked about dope. Did we talk about it on the podcast?
Well, I was around a friend of mine in house that we were talking about with drug references. Yeah, and I said that the word... I referred to weed as dope, and they said, hang on, dope is heroin. I was like, no, dope is pot, kind of thing. And so, the confusion in the words.
Charlie's also just, you know, a name. You know, maybe like, you know, a name for Charles. Just gonna throw that one out there.
Oh, hang on. So
as bland as that is.
Oh, hang on. So Charlie Brown isn't some kind of, you know, some sort
it's
of particular grade.
Oh,
see how I got that wrong?
But
all
you know,
this time.
Maybe. You know, Charleston is kind of known for, you know, cocaine and, you know, Charleston, Charlie.
Oh,
maybe it's just a very clever thing.
In the H&C business, hotel and catering, it's the number one drug of choice, is it not? That's what everybody always tells me.
Is there a Ravenel
page? Oh, that's digital.com/Ravenel for all the latest Charlie stories. Tell us about...
We even have a bridge named after Coke.
www.readcharlie. Maybe that's why they put the word read in. It's not snortcharlie.com. It's readcharlie.com.
We should have a parody site called snortcharlie.com. It's all about Charleston's coke habit.
I can't believe... Well, no, I can't believe we're having this conversation because this is what we do all day, and now we just sit and we do it on the podcast as well. Now that we've completely destroyed them, do you just want to tell us what Read Charlie is?
Read Charlie, they are a new online magazine that it kind of features oriented. They're supposed to kind of, I guess, be a capsule that kind of has their finger on the pulse of Charleston's lifestyle and kind of what's going on and things to do. And it's a very kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I looked at it today after seeing it on the RSS feed from the Digitel, and yeah, it's a lot of cuisine, local cuisine articles.
I'm going to be mean and say, what are they offering that Charleston Mag aren't? Is it just another? Is it a Charleston Mag clone?
Well, honestly, when I first saw it, I thought this is Charleston Magazine, but done by a smaller publication, and part of me does feel a little that way, but at the same time, Charleston Magazine is such an elite, but you know, unless you're making $60,000 a year at least, you're not going to really be partaking in much of what Charleston Magazine talks about. But Read Charlie's a little bit lower, not lower income, but a little bit more, you know, like I could do that.
$5 flights of wine over in West Ashley somewhere. Right. Saw that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I just have to get over there on the bike now.
We're well over our time for the first part, so just quickly mention Shepherd Ferry, cigarette taxes, and anything else that was in our top 10 for this week. All the top stories of the week are, of course, at thedigitel.com /popular/week. /week. Thank you, Ken.
Some of our top stories was Jeff did a video on Reefer Madness Hits Charleston.
Big hit at Theatre 99. So big, it's going to come back for Piccolo Spoleto, in fact. Ooh. There we go.
Congratulations. Yes.
There we go. That's I was out with the cast and crew on Saturday night, and they were very excited about that. Right.
So, yeah. Pot has been a big topic between Reefer Madness at the Theater 99, and then, of course, Michael Phelps, which continues to be an ongoing saga.
A fourth grader selling it in elementary
school? Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's been a week for drugs, hasn't it?
Yeah, Aiken. Yeah, two fourth graders supposedly selling, I think, like a tenth of an ounce of weed to
get dessert.
Dessert and bubblegum. Because, you know.
How much pot can you get for $5? You know, like in England we call it pocket money, like an allowance you call it here, don't you? Yeah, yeah. So basically his parents give him his allowance and he goes out and buys dope.
$25 for a dime? I think, I don't know.
Don't look at me. Ooh. I'm the clean, innocent one here around this table. May I stress.
I don't even know what a fourth grader is.
That's American code talk for pot dealer.
Do you know what? I'm thinking we should do podcasts in the upper deck more often. And drink beer. Normally we just have coffee.
We should make February the tour of Charleston bars podcast.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we could do like 10 minutes in each bar. Yeah.
I mean, we've been to coffee shops. We've been to parks. We've been to. Have we been to a bar yet?
Well, yes. Now we're in a bar now.
Aside from this.
Oh, okay. I know. I think this is our first digicast in a bar.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I like this.
We're really out of time. You can't really talk about anything else. We have to talk to Ben and Dan.
There's a thing about cigarette taxes might go up 50 cents.
Yeah.
And I don't smoke. Other Moving exciting on. Things.
There we go. Check it out, people. The digitel.com.
There are a lot more goodies there.
I want to introduce a line here. The digitel.com now with more readers than ever, because I noticed that our stats peaked at a new high this week.
Right. Since we did our little launch debutante party. And
that was awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
I was quite impressed.
Yeah, both of you there.
I don't remember that.
But there was a lot of people. So.
It was a very busy night. Yes, that was good.
So we did that. You know, we got an indirect plug for me being quasi laid off on News 2 about the site.
We were on the telly. Yeah. So our media.
Different versions, the same story.
Our media whorishness has increased dramatically
and
recently, which I like.
You know, our local readers have almost doubled in the last couple weeks, so and not that they were huge before, but they weren't small either, so you know.
So
and we have an office now. We have an office at 125 Cannon Street.
I was gonna mention that. I think next week we do the podcast on there, and because we were talking about being the new kids on the block, and that got me humming New Kids
on
the Block
songs all
day. That's what we were doing all day. We were singing, humming Are You Tough, Rough Enough, whatever. We'll have that next week. This is a mess. I'm going to rapidly wind up part one and bring in officially Dan and Ben for part two coming up right now. It's the Digicast number 9, and we haven't got a phrase yet as to what this Digicast shall be called. Every week, gentlemen, we have like somebody says like a line, and we go, hey, that's the line of the podcast. So, introducing Dan Kelly. Hello.
Hi.
And Ben Renison.
Well, hello there.
And where are you guys from?
I'm originally from the upstate South Carolina. Been down here a year plus now.
Okay. Ben?
I'm from Somerville.
And where are you from originally?
I'm actually from North Downtown, but I'm originally from Barnsley in South Yorkshire.
There we go. Another British accent.
Oh, yeah. A northerner.
I always feel like I'm letting the side down because people say to me, oh, you're from England. Whereabouts? I just go, London? Because it doesn't sound that exciting because everyone's heard from it.
Most Americans think London is the only place in the whole of England. Yeah. But London or Scotland.
But when you say Barnsley or Bansley, as you should properly say it, don't you kind of get people saying, where the hell is that?
No, they're usually quite scared. So.
I'm scared just looking at you. And now, you guys are with the Holy City Bike Cooperative, correct?
We are.
Tell us who the hell you are and what the hell you do. You can fight as to who wants the microphone. Dan's got it. Oh, no, Ben's
okay,
got it.
Okay,
no, Dan's got it.
This is me. This is
Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi. All right, so the Holy City Bike Co-op started maybe about a little less than a year ago.
Who founded it? Who's the creator?
There's a handful of people. I think the original person who started the idea was Cedric Bale.
Woohoo, Cedric!
Yeah. But anyway, we're just kind of like a bike maintenance sort of like if the Wikipedia, freely available knowledge, was physically, existed, then it'd be us for bike maintenance, and we're just trying to get knowledge out there on how to fix your own bike so you can keep riding.
So Ben, what do you actually do? Do you meet weekly or monthly, or have bike rides, or what? How does it work?
Well, privately we meet for meetings just with the group every other Tuesday and discuss our projects and what we've got going on. But then we also meet on the first Sunday of every month on Marion Square,
okay,
where we fix bikes for the community. Anyone can bring their bike down there.
For free? If I get a problem with my bike, I just roll up.
We've had cookies donated before. Okay. We do like green things that are kind of paperish. But, we'll fix bikes for free depending on how much you can afford and if you feel like donating. There's no tax from us, really.
And is it like a chance for people to learn about how to, do maintenance on their bike as well?
We definitely have some good volunteers that have been with us out there, and one of the things we want to do in the future is actually have a physical shop location where we can definitely retain those volunteers, and basically people can come in at their own leisure instead of once a month. And
leisure, not leisure.
and it's pleasure, not pleasure.
Oh. Okay. Very good. I'm learning new things every day.
Where do you meet on a Sunday? Sorry, you say at Marion Square?
Marion Square, 2 to 4, but as it warms up, we might go back to 3 to 6. So, just keep your ears to the ground or check our website for updates on that.
Okay.
It's a nice vibe, a nice place just to come and hang out and meet other people who are interested in bikes.
It's like the biking community of Charleston.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Now, do you guys ever go on the Critical Mass ride, or are they like your arch nemesis?
No, that's how I met half the people that are involved. It's just kind of like, it was a good social event. I haven't been in a little while, but that's my piece on it.
I've done Critical Mass in London a few times, but never done one in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm too busy.
What are you doing next Friday at 5:30?
I'm probably going to be picking up a Confederate submarine and recording it.
That, if I had to guess the answer, which you were going to say just then, that would have been a long way down the list. A Confederate submarine?
Yeah, the H.L. Hunley is where I work on the submarine.
Hang on, this is fascinating. Let's not talk about bikes. Let's talk about that for
you
a minute.
You can interview me next week for that.
And coming up on next week's podcast, we have the curator of the Hunley Museum and the people that restore on that. What kind of bikes have you guys got?
We've been taking in donations. A lot of people talk to us on our website, through our website.
Oh, sorry, which is? Here's where you plug your website.
Yeah. HolyCityBikeCoop.org.
HolyCityBikeCoop.org.
No hyphen, it's just...
Nothing, just Holy City...
Coop. Coop, if you will.
Coop. Yeah.
Phonetically, that's how it's written out.
You can sign up for a newsletter there and find out all about what we're doing and what we plan to do in Charleston.
Yeah. All of our donations really go to just kind of purchasing tools right now, which are going to be publicly available. So that's what donations are for, and that's what we've thrown a few fundraisers so far.
Okay, so you have like events and fundraisers throughout the year as well.
Right,
have you got
anything
coming up in your calendar?
We have a couple ideas coming up. We haven't set dates, times, or places, but we're talking to a lot of people, and it should be a good time whenever it comes through.
We've just sent four delegates over to Atlanta to the Bicycle Cooperative Conference.
Say that again.
The Bicycle Cooperative Conference.
The Bicycle Cooperative. Are you being serious? That's what it's called?
Bike Southeast.
Bike Southeast.
there's a national one and the Atlanta Cooperative. I mean, cooperatives are like a national, like just popping up. So it was a chance for all the Southeast ones to come together.
Okay. I'm quite fascinated by this. Okay.
I actually didn't go there. I wasn't allowed because I was working again on a Friday at 5:30.
The sacrifices you make for that submarine, I just don't get it.
Okay, so my brakes are squeaky. What can I do about that? I'm kidding. This is not
Well, you can come to the workshop and we'll help you fix them.
There we go. Ken, I'm bringing Ken in because he's been sat there quietly.
You could start, car talk. You could do bike talk.
That'd be amazing. We look like we should do car talk without being.
Is that that show on?
You took off your plaid shirt.
That's Saturday mornings on NPR, isn't it? Car talk.
I love that program. Yeah.
Really? Do you?
I love it. Yeah, because this guy was on there last week and he was like, "The engine service light is on my car. What do I do?" I was like, "You
take
idiot.
It to give you're it a service."
And they were so polite, they just called him an idiot for like 10 minutes and then made him feel like they were his best friend at the end.
Drive it to the shop and get them to check it out, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We're a little less passive aggressive, I hope.
Yeah.
Do you think bikes are ever going to get so complicated that you might have that one day just a bike engine failure? There'll be a little light on your bike saying the chain's wrong.
Yeah, it probably already is.
I want to see that on a bike.
They just introduced like the wireless brake system for like the Tour de France. It's like,
are you being serious?
Yeah, it's like a little, a radio communicates between. Like, you got a little remote for
what's
it.
What's the point of that?
Wires are so complicated these days, you know.
Hang on. So you push a button on for the brake, and it wirelessly sends a signal down to the brake pads.
What if you could do it to your other competitors?
There's like a radio frequency miscommunication. You pull on your brakes, and the guy to your right, you're like, "Whoa!"
Sit up on a mountain on a tight turn and just sit there and play with radio frequencies all day.
I'm a geek, but I'm thinking, isn't that just unnecessarily complicated? Isn't that just technology for technology's sake? Yeah. Come on, people.
The time will test whether it sticks around or not. I don't know.
That's funny. Okay, well, thank you, guys. Ken, have you got anything else to chip in with? Yeah, you got a bike, Ken, haven't you?
Yeah, come bring your bike out.
We should also go. We'll go for a bike ride after this.
Well, we need to also mention. Back to the website, which is Holy City Bike. Holy City Bike Coop.org. Also,
we have Facebook.
What was that again? It's something about a website. I didn't get that. Sorry.
We
have a website.
You have a website?
Yeah.
What's the website address?
It's holycitybikecoop.org. You can also send an email to info@holycitybikecoop.org. We take donations and basically send members out to pick up bikes and we refurbish them.
And Facebook.
Oh, you have a Facebook group.
Yeah. Hey. And we've also got a MySpace page as well, so you can check us out there too.
MySpace is so 2001.
I know. I don't use that. I didn't even know it existed.
Who actually does MySpace anymore?
So not on Twitter yet? I mean, kind of behind the curve. Facebook was so 2008.
It is getting to the point where Facebook is a bit passé and Twitter is the new.
Really?
Yeah. You need to tweet what you're doing every day.
Okay. We need to stop looking at bikes and go back on the internet.
You could be HCBO, the Holy City Bike. HCBO could be your sort of Twitter handle.
HCBC.
HCBC. That's confusing.
HSBC.
Dan, Ben, I feel like I love you already. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
I love the digital.
And stick around, because if you know of any other events coming up, then you can chip in as Ken and I do our What Coming Up section. And we're into part 3 of the Digicast number 9, the Digicast in which we're still looking for a phrase. So I'm just going to say banana turnip.
It's we can improve.
Is that contrived?
It could be soapbox.
I like the one with the soapbox.
Yeah.
The one with Jeff's soapbox.
We should get you a little soapbox. You can carry it around with you. It can kind of collapse into a backpack, and then whenever you get excited, you can just unfold it.
Well, if I'm going to go down,
maybe a little miniature one. You could just set on the table and be like, so "It's soapbox time."
I think Jesus had one of those.
So it could be like an emblem. I don't need to have to stand on it. It's just like saying, "This is my soapbox moment." It's like an iconic. Okay, yeah. Well, if I'm going to the hardware store to buy wood to make a sandwich board to put on the sidewalk outside the digital office, that I can buy some wood to make a soapbox at the same time.
Yeah.
There we go. Have we mentioned at our office, Ken?
We did, briefly.
Because what's coming up, just to kind of very tenuously link this to what's on, is having had our debutante ball, but we will also have a grand opening of some level of our new offices, right, which you're going to tell us about now.
It's we have a new office, 125 Cannon Woo-hoo! Street, formerly home to Low Country Earth Force, and they are still around. They just moved up to better office.
Most people don't know where it is, so if you think where Hominy Grill, Lana, and Fuel is, it's one block west
about,
from there.
It's about, I guess, equidistant between Hominy Grill and MUSC.
There we go. But sort of head away from King Street from where Hominy Grill is, and you'll get to where we
right.
are.
Nice big glass window, standalone, Wi-Fi.
There we go.
What more could you ask for?
Free coffee?
And a fridge full of beer.
A Starbucks. Yeah, they left some beer behind. Let's just not talk about us all the whole podcast. Let's touch on some things that are coming up over the next 7 days in Charleston. Is it Siwi? Is it not this weekend?
I like to call it Siwi.
Siwi.
Is that what is the proper pronunciation?
I don't even know what Siwi stands for.
Southeastern Wildlife Expo.
Tell us what's happening with that, Uncle Ken.
Well, it's the if you're into wildlife and the Southeast, then you'll love this festival. You know, it's everything from they bring animals down to Marion Square, and I think last year they even had a camel maybe in Marion Square? And yeah, and so it's, I don't know, they have hawk demonstrations, and it's this little festival, and they have art shows.
I know that they have the Doc Dogs competition out at Brittlebank Park, which is where you have to throw a ball across a pool of water, and your dog runs along, jumps,
fun.
And sees how far
you are going to do a video of that, yeah?
One of my friends is actually taking their dog down, so I may have just gone along anyway, just for the hell of it, just to see that. Yes,
very cool.
So
I wonder if we should do a dog cam.
Attach my video camera to the collar of a dog.
Yeah, I mean, maybe one that's cheaper, but
somebody did that once. They did that when tiny, you know, wireless miniature cameras first came out. Somebody attached one to the collar of their cat.
There is one. There's a thing they sell now that you can attach. You can buy and attach to your dog, and it just takes a photo every 5 or 10 seconds. And so when you come home and you're like, you know, or maybe you're just bored and like, what has my dog been up to all day? And you can just play it back, or you know, you want to know which dog got into the food and.
Sorry, you're listening to the Digicast, the podcast from the Digitel.com where we talk about pets.
Pets and newspapers, that's all we do.
What's the cutoff for this next week? Is it next Wednesday, next Tuesday?
You can talk about any event that's coming up. Yeah. Oh, hang on. So,
there we go. I got a flyer. I haven't distributed them, but I'm talking
about them. Bill and Ted's excellent adventure.
20th anniversary party at Recovery Room next Tuesday.
So it's February 17th, 8 p.m., Recovery Room. Are they going to show the movie?
Yeah, they're going to project it.
They're going to project the movie. Okay.
There's your phrase for the night as well.
Everything is different but the same. Things are more moderner than before. I've got something to confess here. I've never seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, my God.
I only saw it last year for the 19th anniversary.
Oh.
Nice.
But shockingly, I'm more of a Wayne's World fan, which I know is a terrible thing to say because Bill and Ted fans kind of go, oh, they stole all the lines, you know, for Wayne's World, right? So
maybe I like both.
Okay.
You're allowed to.
Okay. I got Wayne's World out on my Netflix queue the other day, so I spent the whole week going Schwing, which to me seemed terribly funny.
I go Schwing all the time.
But everybody else looked at me like, dude, that's so like 1995. What are you doing?
Yeah. So I was living the good old days.
Might have been the mullets as well.
Yeah. I must get my hair cut. Ken, what else is coming up? Help me. Save me.
The Low Country Blues Festival Bash is still going on through Friday, I believe.
Yes, it is.
And of course, Valentine's Day is coming up, which, you know, is standard, but there's some interesting things going on. We'll put up a roundup of that shortly. Some of the more interesting ones are... the Low Country Barbecue people that we, you know, talked to last week are going up to a barbecue place on Valentine's Day. So, you want to really stick it to Valentine's Day, get stuff your face with barbecue.
I hear that CFC... Oh, is it the radio station are having a kissing booth?
Right. Yeah, we were having fun writing up that story with the whole, you know, radio, a face made for radio thing.
Exactly. So, but you can pay, I think they're going to charge 50 cents to get a kiss off of an attractive
guy or
girl.
And the question is anyone blindfolded in the process?
Ooh.
And I was hoping that both parties were blindfolded and it could just be hilarity.
I heard that either Saturday or Sunday is apparently it's National Hugging Day. And I think it's got this tenuous link to being Valentine's.
Wasn't there like Hug a Korean Day or something?
Hug a Korean?
There's something...
isn't that...
Koreans hide.
Well, I was going to send Stella out onto the streets of Charleston and just hug people and video her doing it just to see what they do. I've also been invited via Facebook to I'm just going to say it. Well, I might not even beep it out. I've been invited to a fuck your ex Valentine's party. The joke being, it doesn't mean go fuck your ex. It's like fuck them, as in they're my ex and I don't care anymore. So I was thinking of going on to that. I think they might have been at the Beer Works on Saturday night as well.
Oh, wow.
So.
I think if you do either, you actually win the day.
If you fuck them physically or metaphorically, then yes.
Right.
What do you two find gentlemen doing, looking at Dan and Ben for Valentine's? Is there a special person in your lives? Or are the two of you having a bike moment together?
Well, the special person in my life, which is actually my identical twin brother, is coming into town on Saturday night.
Is that for real? You have a twin brother?
Yeah.
That's
so he's going to come in as my Valentine, and then we're meeting a group of people. Anyone can actually come. We're meeting at the Griffin at 9 o'clock, where we're going to dress as Englishmen, wearing tweeds, shirts and ties, bow ties, or dicky bows, as it's well known.
How about a bowler hat?
And bowler hats, anything.
Where did you get a bowler hat in Charleston? The
hatter on the down the market.
Because for Halloween last year, I was desperate to do, like, you know, I had the briefcase, umbrella, and bowler hat, and didn't know where to get a bowler hat from.
Yeah, I saw them this weekend at the Hatter on Market, which is good.
That's great.
And then we're just going to meet down at the Griffin at 9 o'clock and then cycle around town like a complete bunch of idiots pretending to be English.
So there is cycling involved?
There is cycling involved,
right, okay.
As well. The event's on Facebook. It's called Pomp and Pageantry.
I have to ask, this is completely unrelated, but when you and your twin brother lived in the same town, city, country, did you ever have the hilarious consequence of one of you having a girlfriend and her getting confused as to who was who?
There's a story that I don't like talking about. Maybe you should ask my brother.
Right, this Saturday, 9 o'clock, I'm going to come down to the Griffin and start talking to your brother as if he's you. And then when he says, no, I'm his twin, I'll be like, really? Yeah. Has anything funny ever happened? And see if I can get that story out of him.
Yeah, you will. He loves to tell.
That's where I'll be this Saturday. Any other what's-ons? Check out our full events calendar at thedigitale.com/events, or it's under the resources tab on the website. Ken Hawkins, I'm looking at you to fill the empty void that is not my life.
Yes, please check out the calendar. thedigitale.com/events.
Events, there we go. Gentlemen, Dan, Ben, thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. It's been great.
It was kind of fun. We're going to stay and get another beer. And Ken, thanks very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
See you next Tuesday. If you want the Digitale podcast, the Digicast, to be recorded, to give a plug to your business, society, event, whatever, get in touch with us, contact@thedigitale.com. We will bring our equipment to you. We will go anywhere as long as there is a power socket nearby to plug into. We can come and record the podcast in the field, but not actually in a field, unless there's a power socket in the field.
We should do one in the field. Get like a little generator and just go out into the middle. Like, we could kayak out somewhere and just do it in the middle of the marsh.
I was actually thinking of, if we had a little generator. That might just be the word instead of soapbox. It's the Digitale podcast. That's fantastic. Until next week, everybody, goodbye.
You've been listening to the Digicast, the podcast from thedigitale.com. For news and entertainment that's pure Charleston, check out thedigitale.com. The Digicast is copyright 2009, thedigitale.com.